Sorry, he said.
People tolerate them.
Oh, indeed, said the Chamberlain happily. It's considered good luck to have a witch living in your village. My word, yes.
Why?
The Chamberlain hesitated. The last time he had resorted to a witch, it had been because certain rectal problems had turned the privy into a daily torture chamber, and the jar of ointment she had prepared had turned the world into a nicer place. They smooth out life's little humps and bumps, he said.
Where I come from, we don't allow witches,
said the Duchess, sternly.
And we don't propose to allow them here. You will furnish us with their addresses.
Addresses, Ladyship?
Where they live, and trust your text gatherers know where to find them.
Ah, said the Chamberlain miserably. The Duke leaned forward on his throne.
I trust, he said, that they do pay taxes.
Not exactly pay taxes, my lord, said the Chamberlain. There was silence. Finally, the Duke prompted,
Go on, man.
Well, it's more that they don't pay, you see. We never felt, that is, the old king didn't think, well, they just don't. The Duke laid a hand on his wife's arm.
I see, he said coldly. Very well, you may go.
The Chamberlain gave him a brief nod of relief and scuttled crabwise from the hall.
Well,
said the Duchess.
Indeed.
That was how your family used to run a kingdom, was it? You had a positive duty to kill your cousin. It was clearly in the interests of the species, said the Duchess. The weak don't deserve to survive.
The Duke shivered. She would keep on reminding him. He didn't, on the whole, object to killing people, or at least ordering them to be killed, and then watching it happen, but killing a kingsman, rather stuck in the throat, or, he recalled, the liver.
Quite so, he managed. Of course, there would appear to be many witches, and it might be difficult to find the three that were on the moor.
That doesn't matter.
Of course not.
Put matters in hand.
Yes, my love.
Matters in hand. He'd put matters in hand, all right. If he closed his eyes, he could see the body tumbling down the steps. Had there been a hiss of shocked breath? Down in the darkness of the hall? He'd been certain they were alone. Matters in hand. He'd tried to wash the blood off his hand. If he could wash the blood off, he told himself, it wouldn't have happened. He scrubbed and scrubbed. Scrubbed till he screamed. Granny wasn't at home in public houses. She sat stiffly to attention behind her port and lemon, as if it were a shield against the lures of the world. Nanny Ogg, on the other hand, was enthusiastically downing her third drink. And, Granny thought sourly, was well along that path which would probably end up with her usual dancing on the table, showing her petticoats and singing, "The hedgehog can never be buggered at all." The table was covered with copper coins. Vitola and his wife sat at either end counting. It was something of a race. Granny considered Mrs. Vitola as she snatched farthings from under her husband's fingers. She was an intelligent-looking woman who appeared to treat her husband much as a sheepdog treats a favourite lamb. The complexities of the marital relationship were known to Granny only from a distance, in the same way that an astronomer can view the surface of a remote and alien world. But it had already occurred to her that a wife to Vitola would have to be a very special woman with bottomless reserves of patience and organisational ability and nimble fingers.
Mrs. Vitola, she said eventually, may I make so bold as to ask if your union has been blessed with fruit?
The couple looked blank.
She means, Nanny Ogg began.
No, I see, said Mrs. Vitola quietly. No, we had a little girl once.